Good morning. Welcome to worship at Little Star Church of the Brethren. We thank Marlene for her lovely prelude music and setting our mood, our spirit. It is a joy to be together again and see so many people, so many wonderful people here. We had a good time at the 8:15 service. Richard is giving the message today. And I'm going to steal his notes so that he'll have a harder time delivering the sermon. I'm only kidding, as you know. There are a bunch of announcements in here. Pam's going to talk. Well, do you want to come up and she's going to talk about the time for prayer for Nigeria.
I just want to remind everyone that annual conference has called us as a congregation to join in prayer and fasting for the Nigerian church, for those that have been kidnapped, for the violence that's going on in Nigeria right now. We have put a sign-up sheet in the back for those of you that would like to intentionally record your willingness to participate in this 24-hour-a-day fasting. On the sign-up sheet, we've put it in one-hour slots. More than one person can be signed up in the slot. Or if you don't feel led to sign your name publicly, feel free to do that prayer and fasting in private and take one of the guides that is back there to help lead you in your times of prayer this week. Thanks.
I think it was Linda. Well, someone had mentioned something last week, I believe, about a fasting, and that there are many, many things to fast from. In our time, we have so much technology, so many distractions from God, and it's not. There are many things that we could give up in term it as a fast, to draw aside and think. Think of the situation that's going on in the world and in Nigeria, and pray specifically for those needs. Pam, you did say that even if you're not signing up for the sheet, to take a sheet with you and remember that in your time of prayer. Sorry, I was thinking instead of listening. There are other announcements in your bulletin. I keep thinking of it as the crop fair because that's the way it started out. But the Council of Churches Country Fair is August 23rd, and that's always a great time. We also on that same night have the baseball game that it's at Harrisburg. I'm not sure if it was from the district or if it's just the. It's a district activity, so if you're not into a country fair, you can go to a baseball game. Nolan was heading that up, Nolan Keeney, so I would presume we can travel together or get tickets through Nolan. I'm not even sure, but there's an announcement around. Pay attention to that if you're into baseball. September 7th is going to be a busy day. The Kobe's Bike and Hike will be that day, and our youth are going to be participating as they always do. And I think it'd be great if you were to find some youth and say, "I'm willing to sponsor you in the bike and hike." So please find the youth and sponsor them. Also, I believe it is our mission of the month, so you can also give through the special offering for the mission of the month. Following the bike and hike often goes till around 4:30, 5 o'clock, maybe even later. At 7 o'clock here at the Little Star is a concert by Mutual Kumquat. I don't think of music when I think of a kumquat, but I understand they're pretty good. The youth have heard them a couple of times at NYC. They've been to annual conference. They're along the line of what Josh Kopp's group, the Bluebird Revival, do. I think there's five people coming, and I'm sure it's going to be a great time. They normally have a pretty big draw, and they're looking. They've heard our history here at Little Star in supporting the music of Josh Kopp, and I think it'd be great if we could show up and be here, and support them and enjoy their music and have that as a time of worship. Are there any other announcements that need to come at this point? Before you get too far, Ken, we're going to do the joys and concerns in a little bit. We're going to stand up and greet our fellow worshipers. So take time to stand up and walk around and greet. Say good morning. Stand up. We do like our times of fellowship. Now's the time for sharing of joys and concerns. Pam has one she mentioned earlier.
I just want to raise up, Ryan Kissling was brought home from rehab. He's spending his recuperation time with Ray and Tim at their home. He's getting outpatient therapy, and Ray just really appreciates all of the prayers that came Ryan's way, and she sees the work of God in his recovery at this point in time. So, and I'd also just like to lift up the Reinhardt family too, yet continued prayers for Tim as he is still in Manor Care, and I'm sure if you have a little bit of extra time or just want to send him a note, he's at the Manor Care in Lebanon on Tuck Street, drop him a note or something that you're thinking about him as he's working at recuperating with his physical therapy.
Tim is not excited about the food there, so bring him a cheesesteak. He'll love you.
I have two requests for prayer this morning. Good friend of Savannah's, someone she graduated this week, her aunt, Sue Nye, is going for some pretty major therapy for her esophageal cancer at Hopkins tomorrow. So prayers for her. And then also got caught by a neighbor yesterday afternoon who informed me she's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. Her name is Roberta Omi.
Roberta Omi? Good. Thank you. Call to worship. I did not really prepare for a call to worship, but we had a scripture in Sunday school this morning from Isaiah that had to do with the seraphim with their wings covering their head and covering their feet, and with a pair of wings they were flying. And oh, now that line is escaping my head, but the glory of the Lord, the whole earth was full of the glory of the Lord. And that, to me, is the vision that I would want us to have as we come to worship. And our worship is a time that we should be coming into God's presence and praising Him and thanking Him and enjoying, reveling in God's glory, and put aside the distractions that we have of the day, of the week, and spend this time in worship with our God. So that would be my call to worship. We have a hymn number 14, Come We That Love the Lord.
I invite you to stand as we sing 14, Come We That Love the Lord.
Oh,
our time for the morning prayer. Please bow your heads, prepare your hearts for communicating with God. Lord, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day. We know that every day that you make is beautiful. We come to you with rejoicing in our hearts, with concerns on our hearts. We pray that you will be with us as we come to this time of worship. Help us to prepare to worship you and praise you. We come to you so thankful for the many blessings that you pour out on us each day. We thank you for giving us bodies to glorify you, hands to serve you, hearts to love you, lips to praise you, and voices to raise in song. We pray that our worship of you this morning would be pleasing to you. And we thank you for seeing us through the many challenges and difficulties that we faced this week, that we faced in our lives. We pray that you would be with us as we move forward as your church with a new pastor and a new perspective. And pray that you would be with Matt and his family as they make the many adjustments in coming to live here and in moving away from Buffalo Valley, from where they've been. I pray that you would comfort them and help them to know that no matter where they are with you. Please teach us to see the way that you see, and to know your will as we make choices, as we move forward as a congregation. We pray that you would bless Pastor Bob and Carol as they continue to serve you in their retirement, and hold them close and protect them. Lord, we praise you for the many joys that we have, and those that weren't expressed this morning, we just we thank you for the way that you bless us so abundantly. This is a time of harvest in our gardens, and we're enjoying the produce that has been raised, that you have watered, and you have caused that seed to germinate. We thank you for the blessings that you give us and the joys that we can experience. Lord, we pray that you would be hearing our concerns and that you would be addressing them as you know best in your wisdom. And we lift up Ryan Kissling and Ray and Tim as they are adjusting to having Ryan at home and caring for him and helping him to heal. We pray that you would touch him and give him healing and a sound body. We pray for Tim as he is still healing from the amputation of his foot. And that you would touch him and heal him and strengthen him and keep his heart light and help him to know that you are with him. We pray for Suni in her upcoming surgery this week that you would be with the surgeons, that you would give her good healing as well, and for Roberta Oni that she would feel your presence and your comfort as she is facing this diagnosis and the many fears that come with it. But Lord, we know that you have the power to heal and that you can heal. Give her your peace and your comfort and your healing. Lord, we know that you are a loving God who cares for our every need. We place our needs before you and we anticipate your response. We know that you who created us will sustain us, and we rest in that knowledge of your sustaining care. Lord, we pray for the many brothers and sisters that we have in Nigeria who are suffering at the hand of others, and that you would comfort them and give them your peace, that you would put your hedge of protection around them, and that you would work in the hearts and minds of the ones who are doing the attacking. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Please join in hymn number 601.
Thank you.
It's a good hymn, keeping us reminded of that place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, ahead of us. My offertory thought comes from a story that I heard this week Alistair Begg. I can't remember what ministry he has, but I hear him on the radio and I get him on a podcast. And he was talking about Christians and dandelions, and that Christians should be like dandelions. And he said a dandelion in one of the first signs of spring is those bright yellow flowers popping up in our yard. Before that comes the greens. My grandpa used to go out and gather them when they're young and tender and make a salad with them. It's one of the things the dandelions have to deal with. They have to deal with people eating them. They have to deal with people whacking them with their weed whackers, pulling them out, spraying them with their sprays. And yet they continue to pop back up. And that was Alistair Begg's message, is that we as Christians need to be like those dandelions. And I was thinking of how the dandelions are this bright yellow flower, and I pictured the little smiley guy from Walmart, the smiley guy with a bright yellow flower. That's us as a Christian. We should be popping back up no matter what happens, no matter how we get cut, no matter how we get sprayed, no matter, you know, people do all kinds of things, and we just need to pop back up and have that smile to share the light that Christ has in us. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you giving you our offerings today, the gifts that you've given us so wonderfully, so generously. We return a portion of those back to you. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the spirit of the dandelion and to just bounce back, to pop up and continue shedding your light. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture this morning is Philippians chapter 3, not just a few verses, but the entire chapter. The heading here is called No Confidence in the Flesh. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, the mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
Before I begin my meditation, I'd like to address two things. Number one, next Sunday morning, Don Fitzke, a minister in the Chickas Church, will be here as your worship leader. He was here several years ago for spiritual renewal, and everybody enjoyed having him here and what he had to say. And he is the person who wrote the book entitled Moving Toward the Mainstream, which talks about the Brethren Church here in the Atlantic Northeast District. And so I would hope that you will come to enjoy what he has to say to us next week. And secondly, we're in a major position here in Little Spitara of change, and change for the better. With the coming of our new pastor, Pastor Matt and his family, I see us making strides in Christianity, being attracted to people that will want to come and enjoy the presence of this church. I know for some of us people 72 like me and older, it might be a stretch some days to get used to change. We like it the way it is. But the whole process of Christianity is not just to keep us comfortable. And so I pray that we will accept Matt and his family with open arms. Okay. Now, the first thing we're going to do is take a test. So here on your bulletin where it says notes, take that out, get your pencil and or pen out of your purse or your pocket. I'm going to give you a test. Now, don't look scared. You never get tested on anything that you've not been taught. You've been taught all this, right? And don't write your answer until I read the whole question. And the question is a one-word answer. You're going to either have 100 or a zero. Are you ready? Here's the question. What is greater than God, worse than the devil? The poor have it, the rich need it, and if you eat it, you will die. Write your answer, and when you've written your answer, raise your hand. Could I repeat the question? What is greater than God? What is worse than the devil? The poor have it, the rich need it, and if you eat it, you will die. Hey, this kid over here didn't raise her hand, and she hollered out the answer. Linda says the answer is nothing. How many of you wrote that answer down? Aha! By the way, Karen, I was going to call on you because you had your hand up first, but Linda shouted out. Detention is in store for her. Yeah, and she's a teacher. She should have known. Okay, let's try this. Nothing is greater than God. Nothing is worse than the devil. The poor have it. The rich need it. And if you eat nothing, you will die. Okay. The key to that is the fact that there is nothing greater than God. And for my meditation this morning, I'd like to deal with four areas, four ideas. And my focus deals with the material that John read from Philippians 3. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's an important aspect of our world today. This is Paul talking. And if you think back, and I know I'm preaching here to the choir, am I not? Our society today has been moving ever closer to the idea that God is relative. We can take him or we can leave him. It is all up to us. However, we must continually realize that there is nothing greater than God. Paul was Saul. Paul was important. Saul was important. A Pharisee. And he enjoyed his task of finding people who followed the way and pulling them out of their houses and having them tried. Our scriptures tell us that he stood there and held the coats for those who stoned Stephen to death. And then one day, while he's traveling to the next city to do the same thing that he's been doing, because that's what a good Pharisee does, not literally but figuratively, God took his fist and hit Saul between the eyes and knocked him to the ground. And when Saul came to, he said, you go talk to Ananias. And Ananias told him again what it means to follow Christ Jesus, what it means in this new world, having Christ as our goal. And then as we look at all the writings of Paul, we see him defending Christians, building up Christians, helping Christians to do a better job of following the way as shown by Christ. Number two, I want to talk to all of you Bible school leaders and teachers, and I want to draw a comparison and a contrast. There are two kindergarten girls, kindergarten, first grade age, who were asked by some very nice neighbors if they would come to Bible school at this church in Virginia outside of Washington, D.C., and the family decided, sure, the neighbors are very nice, let's send the girls. And each day of the five-day Bible school, they came home with a little piece of paper that told what the major idea was that was covered that day. And on the first day, they came home with a paper that said, "You are a sinner." And the parents weren't quite sure how to take that. And the little girls went to Bible school the second day. And that paper said, "You are undeserving of forgiveness." Those two little girls did go to the last 3 days of Bible school, but they were quite apprehensive. And they said to their grandmother, "Did you ever go to Bible school?" She said, "Yes." "Well, what did you do? What did they do? What did you learn?" And the grandmother said, "I learned that Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you." And then she went on to tell all the wonderful things that she had experienced here at Little Swatara in the 1950s, going to Bible school. What a contrast, Little Swatara leaders and teachers. I heard one man say that his son came home from Little Swatara Bible School singing the songs, and he was ready and raring to go the next day. Am I correct, Jeremy? What a difference. It's because you're doing something right. You're energizing children. And so I see you doing what Paul is talking about here when he says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." You're doing that for the little kids here. And so God blesses you. And I pray that you will continue doing that each year. Energize children for Christ. Help them to know that there's a heaven. Number three, I was trying to pick something that I could share with you concerning the idea of forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And I decided to use a personal experience. Several years ago, I was selected as the chaplain for a national organization. And one of my jobs is to write a column entitled "Chat with the Chaplain" that comes out bi-monthly, six times a year. And so when I received my magazine, I always checked to make sure that they didn't change what I wrote. And I did learn that if you go over the word limit, they're going to cut something out and it doesn't make sense. And so I'm careful to keep it at 500 words, give or take a few. Well, some months ago, the magazine hit the newsstands and one went to every home of members. And within 4 days, I got an email from someone I did not know who told me that I have no right to say negative things against the U.S. government and against the military. And at first I thought, well, someone sent an email to the wrong email address. And I was going to hit that X, but I didn't. And a day later, I went back and I reread the email. And I'm like, where did that come from? Now, I thought he was worth a response. And so I hit reply. And the first thing I did was apologize. "I'm sorry," I said, "that I caused you to think the way you're thinking. I stay as far away from politics and government as I can. I don't discuss it at all, if at all possible." Well, except around Petrus. And that I have no way of knowing how you drew that from what I said. And I hit send. He didn't respond. So I contacted a devout Christian. And I said to him, "This is the email I got." And he said, "I read your article. I don't see anything in your article that even comes close to that." And then I said, I've been considering not continuing as the chaplain of this organization. I've been thinking of asking the leadership to replace me." And here was a devout Mennonite talking to a devout brethren saying, "You just keep on writing. You don't worry about him. I've known him and he has confronted other people in ways that were not correct either." And so I look at this scripture. I seek to forget what is behind and I continue to strain toward what is ahead, toward heavenward in Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't forgotten what he said. I haven't forgotten that people can take your words and get something from them that you never anticipated. But I think Paul is trying to say to us, sometimes you need to just keep plugging along. So when John talked about dandelions popping back up, I've been trying, John. I've written 4 articles since then, and even people from Australia, New Zealand haven't written to me and said, "You're off track." So it's one of those things that I look at this scripture and I say, okay, I start to understand more fully what Paul was saying here. Number 4, I call this radical discipleship. If you were to go online and pull up one of those companies that sells a lot of books, like Alibris.com, and type in their radical discipleship, you'll find 50 to 80 different titles. One of them was done by Vernard Eller of our denomination. And you'll find that in some of the cases, they talk about Christ as being the radical disciple. In some, they talk about Peter as being the radical disciple. In some, they talk about John being the radical disciple. And I'm wondering if maybe I could convince you to be a radical disciple. This week, the 17th through the 24th, we're praying intensely and intently for Nigeria, for Christendom in Nigeria, for Christianity, for fellow Christians. And we know that Boko Haram has been pretty rough on them. I've been praying for those 272 girls that were kidnapped and for the 31 women and children who were kidnapped. I've been praying for the families of the brethren preachers that were killed and the wives and the children. They've been killing Christian farmers. I've been praying that they won't do that. And then it hit me. If God can take his fist and hit Saul between the eyes and knock him to the ground, in the vernacular, why couldn't he do that with those soldiers who have been, like Saul, dragging Christians out and shooting them? Why couldn't he have that power upon those people who are working for a person who wrote a book and died, and that is their God? And so I've begun praying for the soldiers of the Boko Haram, praying that they will come to see Christ. Is that possible? Is it possible for them to quit shooting Christians? Or does God only do that one time with a guy like Saul? Well, I don't believe that at all. If you look at some of the writing in Acts, Paul didn't have it very easy, especially with the Corinthian church. I used to read 1 and 2 Corinthians and think, oh, that's nice. But I recently was reading the Reverend Dr. Larry Althaus from Dallas, Texas. He at one time was a pastor in Allentown and in Harrisburg. And he was writing about Paul's trouble with the Corinthian church. There was some dissension in the Corinthian church, and Paul had written to them and said, I'm coming to talk to you. But he didn't get there, so he sent Titus. And the church sent Titus back with a message that they're very angry with Paul. He had promised, but he didn't keep his promise. And so the whole book of 2 Corinthians shows this contention and Paul trying to make it right with the Corinthian church. And so it didn't always go well for Paul. And I don't know that it'll go very well in Nigeria. But there's no end to our prayers. We can't pray that all the Christians will hide underground so that they can't be found. That's not really something that will happen. And so I beg you to think of some radical discipleship, to pray for those who have been the aggressors, to pray that Christ will come upon them, and that we will have a cessation of the killing, not because they got tired of killing, but because they came to see Jesus as their Savior. Might be far-fetched, but then again, I think Saul's conversion to Paul was pretty far-fetched too. And I'm sure that the Pharisees thought so also. Well, do you recall the answer to the test question? Nothing is greater than God. We have to admit that, or we have to accept that, or we have to reaffirm that. And when we reaffirm that, then we can become radical in our discipleship. Let us find joy in God's possibilities. Let us pray. Father God, help us to forget what is behind and strain toward the goal of being with you in glory. Amen. Let us turn to hymn number 611 and rise and sing Soon and Very Soon.
Do the work.